So, we are living in a technology overloaded world. Would you agree? Just a little bit. I mean, and so part of that technology, if used properly, is a good thing. It's a very good thing. It's helpful. Part of that technology, if used correctly, helps us with communication, right? It's much easier to communicate. We have a million different ways to communicate now with people. But I find it so interesting that all these ways that we have to communicate with each other and with people, it seems like we still struggle to communicate. And I don't quite understand why that is, but I think I might know. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. So I find it so interesting that I send text messages to our staff at the hardware all the time. And I send emails. And I pull them aside throughout the course of a shift and talk and communicate about what we need to do and things that need to. And it seems like at the end of the week, all those things just didn't get done. And it's like, I have all these ways to communicate, yet it seems like the communication just seems to fail. And so at the end of all that, I find myself saying to our other managers, I think we need to have a meeting. It doesn't seem like we should have to have a meeting when we have all these ways to communicate, but I think we have to have a meeting. And what I find is that sometimes you just need to come together for a very intentional purpose of communicating. So I think about, why is that? And I think what happens is, because when I send a text message, they're reading a text message while they're doing 10 other things. Or they're reading an email while they're doing 10 different things. And so they're not focused on it. They read it, but they aren't really listening, or they aren't really hearing it. Right? So sometimes I just need to say, okay, we just need to set a time aside to communicate so I can speak to you so that you aren't distracted and so that you will hear exactly what I'm saying. And I wonder if that happens with God. I wonder if that happens with God. He's speaking, but we simply aren't hearing because when he speaks, we're filtering it through a million other distractions and sources and electronic devices. And sometimes I wonder if we just need to say, you know what? We just need to have a meeting where there aren't any electronics, where we just say, okay, I'm just going to meet with God. He's going to speak to me, and I'm going to make an intentional effort to actually hear him. So our title of the message this morning is The Voice of Truth. As I said, we live in this information age with tremendous technologies and advancements in the field of communications. I mean, it's everywhere. Almost everyone in the world, not everyone, but almost everyone in the world now has access to television, to cell phones, to computers, to internet. Even in some of the remote areas in the world, they have access to these things. We have the choice to decide what radio frequency we want to tune into, what radio station we want to listen to. The most widely used media today to share information is social media, but what we often see and hear is something other than the truth, right? We're well communicated, but most of the time it's not truth. But if you hear something enough times with enough persuasion, with what appears to be enough authenticity, we begin to believe it as truth. The fact of the matter is, all the advances in information technology is nothing compared to God's way of communicating. When God speaks, his message is always truth. When the world speaks, when social media speaks, it's almost always truth. False. It's almost always a lie. When God speaks, it's directed to the right person. the right way at precisely the right time. That's with social media, it's just a blast out there. It's just sent to everybody regardless. But God works differently. He speaks to us individually, specifically, in just the right way at just the right time. But he leaves us the choice whether or not we listen to his voice. He speaks, but he gives us the option to listen or to hear. And sometimes I wonder, at work, like I said, I'm like, I didn't really say this was an option to listen or hear, but I feel like that's what you thought I said. I'm going to share something with you, and it's an option whether you really listen to it or not. No, it wasn't meant to be an option. Anyway, there's three principles that I want to look at this morning regarding this whole topic of communication and specifically hearing from God. And the first thing is the voice of God. The first thing I want to think about is the voice of God. Now, I believe that there are three entities, I don't know if that's the right word, three things or that try and communicate with us pretty much on a daily basis. The voice of the world, the voice of the devil, the voice of Satan, and the voice of the Lord. And so if you think about it, those three things coming at us, we need to be able to decipher what is what. First thing is the voice of the world. The voice of the Lord is audible to those who pay attention to his words and incline their ears to his saying, is what it says in Proverbs 4:20. It says it's audible to those who pay attention to his words. Now, there are many examples in Scripture where God audibly spoke directly to his people, right? We've read stories. We know that God audibly spoke directly to Moses on a couple of occasions, and there are other examples. Does he still do that? Does God still do that? Has God ever spoken directly to you in an audible voice? He certainly has the power to do it. He certainly has the capability of doing it. And it's really not for me to say whether he still does or still will or not. Maybe you have heard an audible voice of God. Technology has been widely used today to make people focus their attention on what the world is saying rather than on what God is saying, right? The world is able to drown out the voice of God because of our greed, our love of money, our love of pride, and those sorts of things. Because of those things, oftentimes the voice of truth, if you will, is drowned out. So I wonder if God were to even speak to us directly in an audible voice, would we even hear it anyway? You know, would we put down our devices? Would we just log off of our email accounts and off of our computers and just sit quietly long enough to actually listen? So then we have the voice of the devil. The devil, Satan, is also using technology. But he's using it to steal. He's using it to kill. He's using it to destroy. He's using it to steal our relationships. He's using it to steal our youth. He's using it to destroy the family unit. He's using it to destroy innocent people's lives. There's no doubt about it. The devil desires to destroy the family unit and the sanctity of marriage, and frankly, he has been pretty effective at it in the last several years. And it seems like he's getting better and better at it. Lately, I believe he's kind of doing it by whispering in our ears things like, it's okay, be whoever you want to be. It's okay, identify with whoever or whatever you want to identify with. It's okay, be who you want to be. And I believe that's, right now at least, that's the voice that Satan is using. It's okay. Do what you want to do. Be who you want to be. God gave you the free will to do that. And so we're buying into that and believing it. And then, of course, we have the voice of the Lord. And as I said, this is the only voice of truth and reason. This is the only voice that can really be trusted and that we can really rely upon. The Lord speaks to his creation through his word. right? I mean, pages after pages of God's word to us. As I said, I don't know if he still audibly speaks to people or not. He also uses people, though. And he uses events. And he uses all kinds of other things to communicate with us. He speaks to us through lives of his servants. And he speaks to us through trials and difficulties. He speaks to us during our times of fellowship, during our times of praise, and during our times of worship and prayer. God speaks to us. I hope that on Sunday mornings when you are singing praises and worship, that sometimes God is speaking to you in that moment. He certainly does to me. Our text this morning comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And this is what it says. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. In verse 6 it says, again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son Eli, I think you're losing your mind. I did not call you. Go back and lay down." Then in verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So the Lord did what? He called to Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up. And what did he do? He went to Eli. And he said to Eli, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant was listening." We hear these voices. Sometimes they're from God and we don't realize they're from God. Right? We wonder, where are these coming from? And the Lord's like, "It's me. Lay down and listen." In the time of Samuel, the word of the Lord was rare, it says, and there was no widespread revelation due to the corruption of spiritual leadership and the disobedience of people. The sons of Eli, the priest, showed their lack of respect for the holiness of God by sleeping with other women who worked at the entrance of the tabernacle. Eli did nothing about their behavior. He just turned a blind eye towards it. Well, guess what? When you turn a blind eye towards that behavior, it's really hard to be in tune to what God wants to share, and it's really hard to hear what God wants to say to us. Eli did nothing about their behavior, and their transgressions disqualified them from serving the Lord in the temple. You can't practice that kind of sinful behavior and still be a servant of the Lord. It doesn't work that way. So it got to a point where God realized, "I need a new prophet. I need someone else to replace them." And then Hannah met God's will, and she prayed and promised to declare her son, who was not yet born, to the service of God. "Lord, I am promising to you, I am declaring to you, I am committing to you, I am dedicating to you my son who has not yet even been born." Hannah fulfilled her promise, and Samuel served in the tabernacle under Eli, who taught him what he had failed to teach his own sons. So Eli taught him some things that he had failed to teach his own sons. At God's appointed time, he called Samuel to lead his people. At the time, Samuel was not familiar with the voice of the Lord, and through Eli, he learned how to respond to God's voice. Young Samuel was hearing from God, and he didn't know it was from God. He hadn't understand what it meant to be communicated by God. Samuel responded to God's call and became a trustworthy servant of God. Samuel responded to God's call. The only way he could respond to God's call was he first had to hear God's call. And he heard God's call when he was laying in bed and it was quiet, right? How many quiet moments do we even have in our lives anymore that God can even speak? We don't even have quiet moments, it seems like, anymore. As believers, our focus should be on the Word of God, of course. His words are life, and His words are healing to us when we keep them in our hearts. We need to shift our focus and allow God's Word to infiltrate our hearts. And if we do that, all our needs will be taken care of. The second principle is this, though. Principle one was the voice of God. The second thing I want to talk about this morning is the revelation of God. The revelation of God. See, when God speaks to us, when God communicates to us, He reveals some things to us. And the first thing that He reveals to us is our identity. Our identity. And we are hurting, and our young people are hurting because they are not understanding their identity in Christ. They're not understanding their identity or the identity that God has given to them. And it's because they're not hearing it, because they're distracted by a million things. The voice of God is the Word of God, and the Word of God is the revelation of God. Do you believe that? And God reveals His identity in His Word. God's Word reveals Jesus Christ as being the Messiah when Jesus declared that the Son of Man is the Lord, even on the Sabbath. In Mark 2:28, He's saying that He is the Messiah. So God reveals His identity. He also reveals His will. Again, He can only reveal it if we hear it. Or He reveals it, but we only understand it if we hear it and if we listen to it. God reveals His will in His Word, too. We know what His will is. His will is to die for the salvation of man. That's it. His will is to die for the salvation of man, and that believers proclaim that Christ paid the penalty for sin and our salvation, and that we are saved by grace through faith. That, friends, is the will of God. And then God also reveals our new identity. When we accept Jesus Christ as Lord, we are given a new identity. And God reveals our new identity in Christ in His Word. We have a world or a culture that is searching and searching and searching and searching for their identity, when in reality, the search for our identity is a simple one. It's a simple one. Open His Word and listen to His voice. You want to know what your identity is? Quit searching and just open His Word and listen to His voice. In Christ, we are a new creation with the Holy Spirit, the power of God living in us and empowering us to witness about Christ. The Holy Spirit assures us that He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. The sacrifice of Christ gives life for all. It doesn't cherry pick. The sacrifice of Christ gives life to all. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians. As in Adam, all die. even so in Christ, all will be made alive. Isn't that awesome? Every last one of us will be made alive in Christ. Salvation is only a free gift because Jesus Christ paid the full price for it. Jesus Christ took our place and bore the full judgment of God on sin so that we could take his place. He became our sacrifice through the sin offering. Think about the old covenant. What did they do under the old covenant? It's sacrifices. Take the perfect lamb, right? That was your sacrifice. And how often did you have to do it? Time after time after time. It was a sacrifice that you had to keep practicing over and over again. What did that point to? It pointed to the need for a better sacrifice. It pointed to the need for a perfect sacrifice. Because no matter if we chose the perfect ram or the perfect sheep, it wasn't perfect enough. It pointed to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. There, Jesus Christ, after he had exhausted all judgment of God on sin, cried out, "It is finished." The sacrifice Christ was far greater than the judgment before there was no longer any need for a sacrifice. Let's say that again. The sacrifice of Jesus was far greater than the judgment before there was no longer any need for the sacrifice. The sacrifice of Jesus is more than sufficient to pay the price for our past, present, and future sin. And what that does is it gives us a new identity. We need to value his sacrifice by doing his will in a way that pleases him. But we can only do his will if we know what his will is. And we can only know what his will is if we open up his word and listen to his voice, right? So that's what I'm trying to say. That's where it needs to start. We need to value his sacrifice by opening his word and listening to his voice. He reveals things to us. And then the third principle I want to talk about this morning is our status in Christ. Our status in Christ. What does God do for us? He makes us his beloved children. We're just saying, good, good Father. He's a good, good Father. We can say that because we know our status in Christ is to be his children, to be a child of God. Christ, as I said, took our place and paid the penalty for our sin to give us not only a new identity, but a new status. We've been given a new identity. We've been given a new status. We have become God's beloved children. Simply put, the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men may become the sons of God. Did you catch that? I'll say it again. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men may become sons of God. When Christ died on the cross, one of his last words were a quote from Psalm 22:1, where it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was forsaken and Jesus was rejected so that we might be accepted as God's beloved children who can come to him and call him Father. We get to call God Father because of our new status. But he did more than that. We aren't just beloved children. Our new status is the righteousness of God. God makes us righteous as well. We are the righteousness of God. When Christ took on our sinful position, he gave us a new position. We became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we receive a new spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit in the believer confirms that the spirit of the believer is holy and perfect, since the Holy Spirit will not live in any other place. It simply cannot be so. And you know what our status does for us? Our status gives us access to the grace of God. Because God made us his sons and daughters, and because God made us his righteousness, that gives us access to his grace. And that, friends, is a beautiful thing. Can you imagine if we didn't have access to the grace of God, what our lives would be look like? Christ has given us a new status that gives us access to the grace of God. The grace of God is God's undeserved favor to which we have access by faith. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors many times, in many ways, through the prophets. That's how God communicated to his people, through the prophets. But in the last days, he has spoken to us through what? His Son, Jesus Christ. God has not stopped speaking to us, but I'm afraid we've stopped listening. That's the only thing that's changed. His words are spirit and life, and we are to keep them in our hearts. For out of our hearts, what? Flows all the issues of life. Out of our heart flows the issues of life. So we need to keep his word buried, tucked, protected in our heart. God is constantly speaking to us. I believe that wholeheartedly. Speaking to us through our trials, speaking us to our circumstances, speaking to us through our prayer, through our worship, through music, through song, through other people. In a million different ways, God is constantly speaking to us. But are we listening? Do we hear his voice? I'm telling you, it's the only voice of truth. It's the only voice of reason. If we have any problem or need, let us listen carefully to the Lord. He has already provided the solution. God's already provided the solution to every problem. But we have to take by faith what grace has already provided. We have to take by faith what grace has already given us. Let me close with this. The witness of the Spirit confirms the Word of God. The witness of the Spirit confirms the Word of God. He can make us restless, and he can make us miserable, and he can make us unhappy, and he can make us unable to sleep the way that Samuel felt. Samuel couldn't sleep. He kept hearing the voice of the Lord all night long. Couldn't sleep. He can demand what seems strange. And he can even demand what seems degrading to make us deal with our own preconception and pride, as happened to Naaman. What the prophet told Naaman what needed to be done for his healing, he turned away because of his pride. However, when he obeyed the prophet and dipped himself 7 times in the dirty Jordan River, he was cleansed from his leprosy. Sometimes God is saying, you need to dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. And we say, God, just heal me. Just heal me. And God says, no, I need you to dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. And if you'll just do that, then you will be healed. But we don't want to do the work. We just want to have the healing. We don't want to learn the lesson. We just want to be healed. We don't want to learn what God is trying to teach us. We just want to be healed. And God said, it's not the way I work. I need you to know what I'm trying to teach you, and I need for you to understand the lesson that I'm trying to teach you. And when you understand the lesson, then the healing can take place. Sometimes I'm thinking, man, we need to get on with learning the lesson so that the healing can take place. But when we're slow to learn the lesson, we're slow to receive the healing. We have a preconceived idea of how we want God to behave. We have a preconceived idea of what we want God to do for us. Instead of first listening to him, we tell him how he ought to do it and what he ought to do. Lord, I'm hurting, and this is what I think you ought to do, and this is how I think you ought to heal me. Here we are trying to tell the creator of the universe how we ought to work. It doesn't work that way. The voice of the Lord leads us into the path of righteousness. When we refuse to listen to the Lord, we miss out on God's power to transform our hearts and lives. We miss out on a huge blessing. Let us listen to the Lord and obey Him and enjoy life the way God has designed it, to be able to praise and glorify the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the reminders in Scripture of how that you speak to your people, how you speak to your people. Oh, if we would just come before you in quiet. If we would just set aside a meeting place so that we could recognize and see and hear your voice. Lord, forgive us that we have made you compete with a million other things when you communicate to us. Lord, you try, I know you try, to communicate with us frequently and often. And we just don't hear it because of the background noise, because of so many other distractions and so many other things. Lord, may we commit ourselves to spend some time in quietness, to spend some time just tuning in, that we may hear what it is that you have for us. Lord, I thank you that you do speak to us, to reveal our identity to us, to reveal our status to us, our new identity in Christ, and our new status as a child of God. And Lord, that you do speak to us that way. Lord, give us ears to hear what it is that you have for us. Lord, we desire to do your will. Lord, first we need to understand and hear what it is. Lord, I pray that corporately, as a body of Christ, as Gregory Community Church, we too would set aside some time to be still and to hear and to listen what it is that you have to speak to your people here. And may we do so individually as well. I know one thing, the body of Christ works better when its individual components are also in tune to the Word of God and to what you have for them. Give us ears as we depart from this place, Lord. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.